Sarah Doyle, the Pre-Raphaelite Society's Poet in Residence. It's my pleasure to welcome all listeners to this PRS podcast, focusing on poetry. I'll be reading and speaking about a couple of poems that have inspired various Pre-Raphaelite works of art, and I'll also read a poem of my own as well. I'm going to start by reading The Lady of Shalott, written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Tennyson produced two versions of this poem, the first in 1832 and the second in 1842. As a poet invested in process, I'm fascinated by the side-by-side comparison of the two iterations of the text. I have a slight preference for the later version. I think it focuses more clearly on the titular character, has greater linguistic clarity, and the ending is more sympathetic, even somewhat redemptive. Either way, I love both versions for their compelling storytelling and for their densely packed rhymes, which contribute to a rattling musicality. Tennyson's Lady of Shalott has inspired a variety of paintings, most notably the vivid and intensely colourful work depicting the title character standing at her loom by William Holman Hunt, and three different treatments by John William Waterhouse, who uses a more muted but no less impactful palette. Some people listening might be able to bring those images to mind, but if not, I urge you to undertake an internet search so you can appreciate just how fabulous these paintings are. The Lady of Shalott, 1842, by Alfred Lord Tennyson, Part 1. On either side the river lie long fields of barley and of rye that clothe the wold and meet the sky, and through the field the road runs by to many towered Camelot. And up and down the people go, gazing where the lilies blow round an island there below, the island of Shalott. Willows whiten, aspens quiver, little breezes dusk and shiver through the wave that runs for ever by the island in the river, flowing down to Camelot. Four grey walls and four grey towers overlook a space of flowers, and the silent isle embowers the Lady of Shalott. By the margin, willow-veiled, slide the heavy barges trailed by slow horses, and unhailed the shallop flitteth silken-sailed, skimming down to Camelot. But who hath seen her wave her hand, or at the casement seen her stand, or is she known in all the land, the Lady of Shalott? Only reapers reaping early in among the bearded barley hear a song that echoes cheerly from the river winding clearly down to towered Camelot. And by the moon the reaper weary piling sheaves in uplands airy listening whispers 'tis the fairy Lady of Shalott. Part 2. There she weaves by night and day a magic web with colours gay. She has heard a whisper say a curse is on her if she stay to look down to Camelot. She knows not what the curse may be, and so she weaveth steadily, and little other care hath she, the Lady of Shalott. And moving through a mirror clear that hangs before her all the year, shadows of the world appear. There she sees the highway near, winding down to Camelot. There the river eddy whirls, and there the surly village churls, and the red cloaks of market girls, pass onward from Shalott. Sometimes a troop of damsels glad, an abbot on an ambling pad, sometimes a curly shepherd lad, or long-haired page in crimson clad, goes by to towered Camelot. And sometimes through the mirror blue the knights come riding two by two. She hath no loyal knight and true, the Lady of Shalott. But in her web she still delights to weave the mirror's magic sights, for often through the silent nights a funeral with plumes and lights and music went to Camelot. Or when the moon was overhead came two young lovers lately wed. I am half sick of shadows, said the Lady of Shalott. Part 3. A bowshot from her bower eaves, he rode between the barley sheaves. The sun came dazzling through the leaves and flamed upon the brazen greaves of bold Sir Lancelot. A Red Cross knight forever kneeled to a lady in his shield that sparkled on the yellow field beside remote Shalott. The gemmy bridle glittered free, like to some branch of stars we see hung in the golden galaxy. The bridle bells rang merrily as he rode down to Camelot, and from his blazoned baldric slung a mighty silver bugle hung, and as he rode his armour rung beside remote Shalott. All in the blue unclouded weather, thick jewelled shone the saddle leather. The helmet and the helmet feather burned like one burning flame together as he rode down to Camelot. As often through the purple night, below the starry clusters bright, some bearded meteor trailing light moves over still Shalott. His broad clear brow in sunlight glowed, on burnished hooves his war horse trod, from underneath his helmet flowed his coal-black curls as he rode down to Camelot. From the bank and from the river he flashed into the crystal mirror. Tira lira by the river sang Sir Lancelot. She left the web, she left the loom, she made three paces through the room. She saw the water lily bloom, she saw the helmet and the plume, she looked down to Camelot. Out flew the web and floated wide, the mirror cracked from side to side. The curse is come upon me, cried the Lady of Shalott. Part 4. In the stormy east wind straining, the pale yellow woods were waning, the broad stream in his banks complaining, heavily the low sky raining over towered Camelot. Down she came and found a boat beneath a willow left afloat, and round about the prow she wrote, the Lady of Shalott. And down the river's dim expanse, like some bold seer in a trance, seeing all his own mischance, with a glassy countenance did she look to Camelot. And at the closing of the day she loosed the chain and down she lay. The broad stream bore her far away, the Lady of Shalott. Lying robed in snowy white that loosely flew to left and right, the leaves upon her falling light, through the noises of the night she floated down to Camelot. And as the boat head wound along the willowy hills and fields among, they heard her singing her last song, the Lady of Shalott. Heard a carol, mournful, holy, chanted loudly, chanted lowly, till her blood was frozen slowly, and her eyes were dark and holy, turned to towered Camelot. For ere she reached upon the tide, the first house by the waterside, singing in her song she died, the Lady of Shalott. Under tower and balcony, by garden wall and gallery, a gleaming shape she floated by, dead pale between the houses high, silent into Camelot. Out upon the wharfs they came, knight and burgher, lord and dame, and round the prow they read her name, the Lady of Shalott. Who is this, and what is here? And in the lighted palace near died the sound of royal cheer, and they crossed themselves for fear, all the knights at Camelot. But Lancelot mused a little space. He said, she has a lovely face. God in his mercy lend her grace, the Lady of Shalott. Wow. In 2018, I wrote my own poem responding to Tennyson's originals and the aforementioned Pre-Raphaelite paintings inspired by them. Sally Ann Huxtable, who was then the editor of the PRS Review, commissioned me to write a piece from a more feminist perspective, a contemporary retelling, speaking back to some of the themes in Tennyson and in the paintings inspired by the poems, paintings by Holman Hunt and Waterhouse. I imagined myself in the colourful but stifling room of Holman Hunt's painting, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to rewrite that narrative so that the Lady of Shalott actually survived and broke free of this mystery curse and its imprisonment? So here's the poem I wrote, and it begins with a quotation from the Tennyson. "She knows not what the curse may be. The curse is come upon me," cried the Lady of Shalott. From The Lady of Shalott by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Cursed, after the painting by William Holman Hunt. With midnight blues in peacock threads, in skeins of duck egg, bloody reds, I spin the mirror's flattened scene, its image on my hand-stitched screen, and never leave this room. The glass reflects outlying fields, shows mounted knights with polished shields that wink beneath a coppered sun. Unnumbered years all this I've spun and never left this room. The freedoms I have been denied, small children by the riverside, the ladies with their liberty, I weave them all and bitterly, but never leave this room. How I despise each smiling face, the silks that keep me in my place, that gold corrupt kaleidoscope, distorting all, devoid of hope, a web that binds this room. And still the nature of my sin remains unknown. Where it begins, how foul my deeds, I am not told. My colours dance, and yet how cold it is within this room. Another tragic heroine, with slender bones and china skin, whose feminine, fictitious taint is beautified in oil paint, I stand within this room. Medusa, Daphne, Lot's wife, Eve, in literature, in artworks, we've borne curses chastened by the name of woman, burdened by a shame that will not leave this room. No more. I break the curse, I break the glass, with one hard look I take the strands of narrative that bind me here, and snap, I leave behind this prison of a room. The river, simply metaphor for destiny. The water bore me, yes, but did I truly die? Or did I hold my breath so I might leave that gilded room? Within that room my likeness stays, a tapestry of countless days, but I am fled. What viewers see, an artist's longed-for fantasy of me within that room. I'm going to return to John William Waterhouse to finish and read the John Keats poem that inspired Waterhouse's painting La Belle Dame Sans Merci. The poem also inspired a treatment by Frank Bernard Dixie, both wonderful paintings which I urge everyone to seek out. La Belle Dame Sans Merci, a ballad by John Keats. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms? Alone and palely loitering, the sedge has withered from the lake, and no birds sing. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms, so haggard and so woebegone? The squirrel's granary is full, and the harvest's done. I see a lily on thy brow, with anguish moist and fever dew, and on thy cheeks a fading rose fast withereth too. I met a lady in the meads, full beautiful, a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild. I made a garland for her head, and bracelets too, and fragrant zone. She looked at me as she did love, and made sweet moan. I set her on my pacing steed, and nothing else saw all day long. For sidelong would she bend and sing a fairy's song. She found me roots of relish sweet, and honey wild, and manna dew, and sure in language strange she said, I love thee true. She took me to her elfin grot, and there she wept and sighed full sore. And there I shut her wild, wild eyes with kisses four. And there she lulled me asleep, and there I dreamed, ah, woe betide, the latest dream I ever dreamt on the cold hillside. I saw pale kings and princes too, pale warriors, death pale were they all. They cried, La Belle Dame sans merci hath thee in thrall. I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning gaped wide, and I awoke and found me here on the cold hill's side. And this is why I sojourn here, alone and palely loitering, though the sedge is withered from the lake and no birds sing. Well, that's it from me for now. Thank you so much for joining me in these poems today. I'm really proud to be your poet in residence, so I do hope you've enjoyed listening, and I hope we might do it again sometime. In the meantime, this is Sarah Doyle bidding you all goodbye.